Okay, we have a sugya in this week's parsha, Shaila of Chanufa, of flattery. As we'll see, that it could be a pretty serious infraction. So, we start with the pasuk in this week's parsha. Pasuk says, just give me one second, I'm sorry. A moment. Oh, here we go. Okay. Yaakov told Esav to please take his present, because seeing you like seeing the face of a divine being, and you have been appeased by me. Okay, so Yaakov is seemingly flattering, or as we used to say when we were in high school, kissing up to Esav. And we'll see whether this was problematic or not on Yaakov's part. Good morning, Avi. So,
good morning.
We have a second pasuk. What's that? Okay, we're good. All right.
Yep.
I'm just gonna make sure everyone's muted here, except me, of course. All right. If anyone has a comment or question, you can unmute yourself. You have a second pasuk. In Bamidbar v'lesachanifu sa'aretz, you shall not. The way they translate it in the article is, you shall not bring guilt upon the land. But it's also ki adam hu yachnif sa'aretz, because the blood will bring guilt upon the land. V'la'aretz la'yichupa, and the land will not have atonement. La'adam ha'shashubach ba ki medam shayvchay. Okay, so here we have. Seemingly a pasuk that talks about bringing guilt, but it's in the terminology of chanufa, which also means flattery, as we'll see right now. The Sefri, good morning, Rabbi Yossi. The Sefri on this pasuk of Leisachanifu says, Harezu az hara lachanefim. This is a warning against flatterers. Okay, so we're going to try to see a little bit about this issue of flattery that comes up by Yaakov, and also comes up in Sefer Bamidbar. So we start with a pretty well-known Mishnah and Gemara. The Mishnah says, Agrippas HaMelech Amad V'kibel V'kara Oymed. Agrippas HaMelech, Agrippa, who was the king, he was the son of Herod, of Hordas, he was the king over Eretz Yisrael. And the Mishnah there is detailing what went on during Hakel. And it says that he stood and he received the Torah, the Kara, I mean, and he read standing. And he did not sit down, even though a king is allowed to sit down in the Azara, but he did not. V'shimchu chachamim. And the Chachamim praised him for this, because he realized that he was not really fit to be king. When he got to the pasuk of, you are not able to place upon yourself a foreigner, Zolgo in of the mice, his eyes flowed with tears. Amulai. They said to him, Al tisyari agrefas, don't fear agrefas. Achinu ata, you are our brother. Achinu ata, you are our brother. So the Gemara comments on this, Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Nosson ba Isa Shah, Nishayvu son of Israel, Kaloya. At that time, the enemies of Israel were chayv destruction. Sheachnifu lo agrefas, because they flattered Agrippa. Omer b'Shimon ben Chalavta, they flattered him by saying that you are our brother, when in fact, whether or not he was actually their brother or not, is the subject of significant discussion about what exactly his status was as a Jew. He was descended from Herod, but it could be his mother was Jewish, then it might be his mother was not Jewish, but he was an Eved Kenani, because Herod was really an Eved Kenani who revolted and took over the kingdom. Okay, so there is some discussion exactly what his status was. But by saying you are our brother, and thus indicating that it's okay that you're king, it's fine, don't worry about it, was improper and was flattery. From the day that the fist of flattery gained might, I wondered if the word agrefas, which means fist, has anything to do with the name agrefas, which is, you know, which means Agrippa, that's his name. But there is a connection, I don't know. But in any event, from the day that the fist of power of flattery took over, Nisabsu Hadinin, So judgments became corrupted. When Iskalklu Hamasim, deeds became ruined. And all could say to his other person, my deeds are greater than your deeds. It's a line which needs some degree of explanation. But basically, you can't rebuke anyone because everyone's deeds are have fault in them. Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Marava, v'teimer Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, motu lehachniv l'arishon bo'elam hazeh. It is permitted to flatter the wicked in this world. Shneimer, like it says, lo yikai oid l'novel nediv, a novel, a vile person, will no longer be called a noble person or a generous person, ulekili, and to a person who is very lustful, lo yema shua, he will not be called that he's a noble person. Miklau, this is talking about loss and lovai. Miklau de balamazah, shari, we can infer that in this world, pre-Messianic era, it's permitted to do that. In fact, it happens all the time. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Omar Mehacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish learns this idea that you're allowed to flatter in this world from here. It says, in this, like we just saw in this week's parasha, Kir ois p'nei aleikim, Vatir Tzeni. Yaakov tells Esav, it's like seeing the face of God and you have been appeased by me. So seemingly Yaakov was flattering Esav. Seeing you is like seeing the face of God or the face of a divine being. Okay? It reminds me of the story of a family was looking into credentials for a boy after a shidduch was suggested. So the parent called up a friend of the prospective bacher, and the person said, "Wow, he's mamish hamalach." So, anyways, they were convinced, and the girl went out with the boy, and the boy was a mushkes, you know, terrible midas, and just a real jerk, and so on. So, after the girl said no, thank you, the parent called back the friend, said, "I understand something. You told me he's a malach." So the friend said, "Well, er ist nicht kein Mensch." Anyways, so over here, Yaakov tells Esav that it's like seeing the face of Hashem, or at least the face of a divine being, a malach. And so you see that he was allowed to appease Esav. We'll see later exactly when this applies. When are you allowed to do it? Okay? Pligid Rabbi Levi. And this statement of Rish Lakish argued on Rabbi Levi, Dama Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi had a different approach to understanding Yaakov's statement. Dama Rabbi Levi. Mashal shal Yaakov v'Esav v'hadar v'doymeh. To what can we compare this story of Yaakov and Esav? La'adam shezimin as chaveiroi, a person who invited his friend, to a meal, v'hikir boi shemakish l'hargoi. And he realized he wants to kill him. Amalei said to him, as they're eating, tam tam shal zeh, shani toyim kitab shal shata'amti b'veis hamelech. You know, this food tastes like the food that I ate in the palace of the king. Amar, the other guy said, yodale malka, this fellow who I want to kill, he's tight with the king. Mr. V, he got scared, and he didn't kill him. It sounds like one of these like mafioso type stories. Yeah, two people get together and one of them chaps, the other one wants to kill him. So he drops a few names to scare him off. So over here also, Yaakov is telling Esav, seeing you like seeing the face of a malach. In other words, I just finished fighting, hanging out with malachim. Esav is going to think twice before he starts up with Yaakov. So that is the first Gemara. We have a second Gemara over here in Nedarim. The Gemara says, Ula b'miske la'ar d'Yisrael. Ula, when he went up to Eretz Yisrael from Babel, is la'abule tren b'nei chuzoi. Two people from Chuzoi accompanied him. They together with him. Come chad shachte l'chavri. One of them got angry and he shachted the other guy. Okay, Mamash killed him. He slit his throat. Amalei l'Ula. So the murderer said to Ula, I guess holding the knife, Yoz Avdi, did I act well? Amalei Ula said to him, In yes, Upalei Beis Hashchita. Make sure to expose the slit in his neck. In other words, finish the job properly. When Ula came to Rabbi Yechonon in Eretz Yisrael, Amalei said to Rabbi Yechonon, Dilma Chas V'Shalom Achziki De'Oliv Ravera. Maybe I strengthen the hands of sinners by encouraging this fellow to finish the job properly. The guy was dead already. It wasn't a gaya. But maybe by telling him that, you know, he did a good job, I am strengthening the hands of sinners. And I'm guilty of flattery. Amalei said to him, Nafshecha hitzalta. You were saving your own life. Never criticize a man holding a bloody knife, especially if he just used it on another human. It's not a good idea. So if you would have criticized him, you would have been exed. So therefore, it's a good idea that you did to praise his actions and thus save your life. So this Gemara seems to indicate that at the very least, you're allowed to flatter someone to save your life. And in fact, Taisus in Saita says this. It says, "Kol machnev lachaveray." The Gemara there talks about, I didn't quote the whole Gemara, but the Gemara has some strong things to say about flattering other people. And Taisus there says, "Yesh lefarish shaloi b'makim sakana," when it's not in a situation of danger. Avo b'makim sakana, but if it's in a situation of danger, mutter, it's permitted. And he brings down the Gemara of Nidarim that we just saw as proof. So Taisus learns that when your life is endangered, you are allowed to flatter a person in order to spare your life. Okay? So that is the sugya from the Gemara and Taisus. Okay? Let's see further over here in the Rishainim, different shilas which come up. Says the Sefer Yireim, Loisa Hanifu. Hashem commanded us in Parshas Ve'elamase, Lo yisach hanifus ha'aretz. The time of Sifra, we saw before, Harezu azhar l'chanefim, this is a warning against flatterers. Harei mefarish, he says, I'm going to explain. Pirish, chanufu shezira le'atoyra, kol ha'shamei ha'dover avlo, v'sheine hagun, someone who hears an avlo, or something that's not proper, or he sees a bad thing, v'omar toivim, he says, oh, that's good. And he's not keeping quiet out of fear. Either fear due to his own fear for bodily harm or fear for financial harm. That's not why he's keeping quiet. But rather out of the evilness of his heart. Or he thinks in his heart and he says, Bira also, this guy that did something bad. If I start up with him, his anger is going to turn on me. He's cutting me. He's going to fight with me. The any mashed big titzalsa, but I'm not going to lose anything through fighting with him. Kiyim chazu ba'avosai, except for his friendship. That's all I'm going to lose, but I won't suffer financial or bodily harm. Mikra chonev oiver le'dachnif. He's called a flatterer, and he has transgressed le'sachnif. Kedinam b'slaita be'elu ne'marin amru loy altira agreifas hamelach achinot. They said to excuse me. They said to Agrippa, "You are our brother. You are our brother." That at that time, the enemies of Klal Yisrael were liable to destruction. Again, a reference to Bnei Yisrael themselves. Shechnifu la'agreifas, because they flattered Agreifas, Rafilu b'shtika, Nikra chanev, even just by keeping quiet, he could call the chanev. Kidarina b'kedushin perek acharein, Gabi Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Nachman hashu da'asi mar, l'shtoy mili, l'leimru, kamach nefi rabbanan ha'adodi. We have a Gemara that says, whatever the context is, that Rav Nachman said, now that the master came, l'shtoy mili, you have to say some words, that they shouldn't say, that the rabbis are flattering each other. Apparently, there was a need over there for one of the chachamim to criticize the other. Here is ashtikusa, meaning that by keeping quiet, that is considered flattery. And one who says something is bad is good, it's called a chanef. Even fetuses in their mother's womb, okay, the Gemara is a drasha on that pasuk. How is referring to fetuses? But in any event, over there, it's clear that flattering is problematic. But someone who just keeps his peace with the rasha, and he makes it look like he's his friend, machmas yir also, because he's scared of him. Such a person is not called a Rosha. You're allowed to ask their peace, meaning to say hello to them, because of Dachi Shalom. A person never preceded me to say shalom v'afilu b'shuk, even in the marketplace. And so he's inferring from there that he would greet everyone, even wicked people. You're allowed to flatter the Rishoyim in this world. That we can infer that is also lovely. They will not call terrible people by nice names, but in this world it's permitted. We learn that you're allowed to flatter a Rasha out of fear, but not out of fear. Nikra Chonev, he's called a Chonev, because nothing is causing him, nothing is driving him to flatter his Rasha, except for wickedness, and hatred of good and proper. Very interesting, because just a couple points over here that I don't really understand fully from the words of the Reim. He does say that you are allowed to flatter him if you are concerned about financial or bodily harm, okay? But he says that making peace or keeping the peace with the Russia and making it look like you're his friend because you're scared of him is not a problem. And he brings proof from the Gemara in Gittin. Then he says, he brings a proof from Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai that no one ever preceded me in wishing shalom, even in the marketplace. I don't see what the proof is. Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai is talking about wishing shalom to people in the marketplace. In general, if his proof is he said shalom to everyone, even the Rishayim, there's no indication over there that he did so out of fear. So I'm not really sure what he wants from the story of Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai, exactly what his proof is. Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai L'chayu is a totally different din of just greeting them. Greeting them is called, that's called being their friend, because you nod your head and say good morning to a guy walking past you. I'm not clear what he wants from that Gemara. It's not really clear to me, unless he's bringing a separate halacha that you're allowed to do a very basic bare bones greeting to a person, even if he's a rasha. You're not mechuyev to really start up with him and ignore him and rate him on. You're allowed to do bare bones peace, whereas to make it look like you're his friend, that you're allowed to do because da'ach shalom if you're scared of him. Even that, it's not so clear to me what exactly the raya is from the Gemara and Gittin, because the Gemara and Gittin, I don't think is talking about Rishon per se, either. Okay? So it's not clear to me exactly what his proof is over there. But in any event, he comes out that if you do have a concern for financial or bodily harm, you are allowed to flatter them to some degree in order to keep the peace. Okay? Also, what's odd to me at the end is that he says that if a person flatters someone when he's not scared of financial or bodily harm, he says that what's causing you to flatter him is flat out Russia and hatred of good and proper. Now, if I'm flattering someone, not because I particularly care for their deeds, but because I'm not interested in picking a fight, okay? This guy is my friend, or at least I more or less get along with him, and while I'm not scared he's going to beat me up or burn my house down, because I'm saying something to him, but I am not interested in starting a fight with him. So if I'm nice to him, that's called loving wickedness and hating what's good and proper. It's a little hard to understand. It's just a different level. The same way, I'm allowed to lechatchila flatter the guy to avoid financial or bodily harm. So okay, fine. Maybe I'm not allowed to do that because I don't want to start a fight. But why is that called I love wickedness and I hate what's good because I'm nice to someone who I have a connection with, or I have shayches to, rather than starting a fight with him? So it's also a little bit hard for me to understand why that's called love of wickedness. Unless he means to say that the fact that my concern over picking a fight overrides the need to not flatter shows that I don't have enough regard for doing what is right and proper. I'm not sure. It's not so clear to me. Okay, but let's see further. We have over here Rabbi Elina in Shari Tshuva, and he takes a somewhat sharper approach over here than we've seen until now. He says like this. He's talking about flattery. A person is obligated to put himself into danger, and not to allow his soul to bear a sin such as this. The Amar Rabbi Seinu, al inyan agreva shayekoyri b'toyah, regarding Agrippa, who was reading the Torah, look at Shegiya the Pasuk Zem, when he reached this Pasuk, Le'esfucha Allah says, Alecha Yishnachar, you cannot place upon yourself a stranger. Zolgoin of the mice, his eyes streamed with tears. For Amalan, they said to him, Achinu Ata, Mice of Shan is Chayvus, name Shal Yisrael Kalaya, Shechin Fulay Le'agrefas. Okay? So Rabbi Yoyin explains, Avki Ayoshim ala Mishpat, Eilu Lefachid Me'enosh Yamus, Shnama Alei Seguru Mibne Ish, even though someone who sits on a Bezdin, okay, he cannot be fearful of another person that will cause him death. You shall not fear any man. And this section that we have mentioned is the portion, this portion is the portion of a wicked person who is counted among these two evil groups of one who connects with Sheker and Chanufa. So he's talking about different groups of people who do bad things. So he says a person who's guilty of flattery is included in the group of those who are liars and those who are flatterers. V'yesh b'chelke kata chanef v'mashot bom hechonef nispe v'oved v'avon hachanuf v'levad k'asher yizboer. Okay, and then he says that there are those among the group of chanefim ashrom hechonef nispe v'oved that the flatterer will be destroyed just for the sin of flattery, as will be explained. Okay, I'm not getting involved in all the details right now, but what he does say, seemingly, is that a person has to put themselves in danger in order to avoid flattery, and his proof is in the story in the Gemara of Agrippas HaMelech, of Agrippa, that they flattered him. What's his raya? L'chayro, because Agrippas was a melech, he was a king. You don't start up with a king, even if he's a nice king, but kings tend to be pretty fickle, and he could you know get angry pretty quickly, and he has all the power to do whatever he wants. So you don't want to start up with him. Okay, and in fact, the Gemara in Kedushin, it's pretty clear. The Gemara in Kedushin has a whole story with Yanei HaMelech. Yanei HaMelech was one of the Chashmonai kings. He returned from battle successful, and he wanted to also take the role of Kohen Gadol because he was part of the Chashmonai household, but there was some question on his lineage, so the Chachamim kind of told him, you know, it's enough that you're king, you don't have to be Kohen Gadol also. And he got mad at them, and he ended up killing a lot of the Chachamim. So it's pretty clear from the Gemara over there that starting up with a king regarding his lineage, even if you're on good terms with him, is a dangerous business. Okay? So seemingly to have criticized or at least acknowledged Agrippa's heartbreak over the fact, his realization, that he is not really fit to be king because he's descended from Avadim, and he himself likely had the status of an Eved Kanani, they would have put themselves in danger, but still it's something that they should have done. Okay? And then he also brings proof from the fact that a judge is obligated to not fear any man. So let's see exactly how far this goes. Because further on he says, is one who honors the Rishoim just as a way of keeping the peace. However, such a situation, he should not speak well about the Rosh, nor should he conduct himself by honoring him in such a way that people say, oh, he's giving kavod, because this individual must be very important in his eyes. He says he does not give him kavod except in the way that people give kavod to rich people, in a way of like some like fawning over them, in a way of just of making nice to them, in the hope of getting some sort of purpose out of them. Okay, so here you see clearly in Rabbeinu Yoina that this is the way to deal with rich people, is in fact to give them some degree of kavod in the hope that you'll get something from them that you need. So you're allowed to deal with such a person the same way, because this Rasha is successful, but not because you have any real appreciation of this Rasha's position or prestige, but rather you're just kind of flattering them because you want to get something out of them. Yeah.
This is the justification for the kollel taking a donation from the governor, because he's the governor and he's good, even though he's a Russian. Correct?
Who says we took a donation from the governor?
The kollel took a donation from Governor Polis for the new building.
No. We took a donation from the family fund.
Okay.
From his brother.
It's from his family.
It was from his mishpacha.
And the next question I have is,
yeah,
when he's sick, how do you make a mishabeach for him? For a isha or for a ish? It's a simple question. Halachic question.
I plead the fifth.
You should see these things come back to bite you when you make mistakes like this. You should have never taken money from him.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I'll tell you what. If you want to post the money instead, then we don't have to take the money from him.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, well, you know, that was a fat one across the board.
I knew that, yes.
Okay. Ve'av gam zeis. Yesh chet ve'ashma b'davar hazeh. He says, even this approach of giving a Russia a bare bones covet just for the purpose of getting what you need from him is problematic. Ki im hutol chaver ashirim, it may be true that you're allowed to honor rich people. Loichen rishon, it's not true for the wicked. Shneamar re'ei kol geyah v'ashpileihu, see every haughty person and lower him. Re'ei kol geyah hachnieihu v'hadoich rishon tachtom. See every haughty person and hachnieihu is make him submissive, lower him. V'hadoich rishon tachtom, and crush the rishon under them. Achachelak hazeh. However, this portion, meaning this type, this approach, is permitted. Midaiga midover pen yazik harasha, lest this rasha cause damage. V'yugam hepsid bizman shiyad rasha takifa v'shasa chatzufa. Basically, he's saying that it is permitted to give this level of covet to a rasha if it's a situation where if you don't, it could cause loss. Okay, we don't have the ability to lower him and to put him in his place. Therefore, you're allowed to honor him the way people honor Anshei Zraya. Okay, people who have power. Basically, you're allowed to give them the amount of cover that's necessary to keep them happy, that they don't beat up on you. But you're not allowed to praise him nor speak good of him to other people. It's permitted to flatter Rishoyim in this world. Okay? Which brings us to the Yad HaKetana. So what emerges from Rabbeinu Yoina is that he seems to be a lot sharper in how he speaks than the Arayim, even though practically they seem to be saying very similar things, but he says it a lot more sharply. He says you have to be very careful how much kavod you give such a person. You are allowed to give some kavod to avoid damage or loss. He does not say what kind of loss it is, if it's financial loss or if it's only bodily harm, but he makes clear you can't do more than is absolutely necessary. So to praise him, speak well of him, is problematic. You're allowed to, you know, kind of make nice to him the same way you would make nice to a bully, basically is what he's saying. Okay, if you're not interested in getting into a fight with a bully because he's going to beat you up, so you're allowed to do the same thing over here. Says the Yad HaKetana, Avol, Kol Zeh Shelo B'Mokem Sakana Niris, Ken Leikan, Shelo Hoya Adavar Karev, There was no real concern of danger. He's talking about the case of Agravus HaMelech. They saw that he was crying. Clearly, he was in pachad of Hashem. That he transgressed Hashem's statement. Not only did they not do anything to increase that fear of Hashem, for the sin that he did. But rather, they encouraged him and they said, don't worry about it, about your sin. And thus, it was very great and heavy, their pesha. Because not only did they not encourage him in what he was distressed about, but rather they pushed the other way and said, nah, you don't have to worry about it. Okay? And here they had an opening to encourage him to move forward in his state of regret. And this was done in public. Don't worry about the fact that you have transgressed the commandments and the decrees of the king, Malka Shel Olam, the king of the world. Just give me one moment, please. I'm sorry. Okay. Therefore, Vidu Ansham the Amrush and Ischaivus name Khoya. Therefore they made their punishment very heavy. The Amr, when they said Shinischaivus name Khoya, that their enemies were liable to destruction. Even though the fear of the king is very great, and they had a little bit, they had some reason to be concerned they would be dangerous. They still had to put themselves into a situation because the concern was pretty slight. It wasn't a major concern. Not to put themselves into a situation of bearing such guilt. But in a situation of clear danger, meaning it's clear that it will come to danger, if they don't flatter him, then it's permitted to flatter. Like you find in the story of Ula, who was accompanied by these two people from Chuzai. The whole story, he brings down the whole story, and I'm not going to go through it again. But you see by Ula, over there, he flattered the guy because there was a clear danger. The guy's holding a bloody knife. He just killed the guy. So there, if you say, you know, you really shouldn't go around killing people because he got into a fight with them, he might very well be next. It's clear and present danger. What emerges from this Yada Katana, this paragraph, we'll see the next paragraph in a minute, is that he says that the case of Agrippas was not real danger. It wasn't real danger. It was a pretty remote concern for danger, but it wasn't a real concern, and therefore they had an obligation to put themselves in danger, which is somewhat at odds with Rabbi Niyana. Rabbi Niyana seems to say that a person has to go into some degree of danger, as we saw earlier, that Rabbi Niyana says that you are obligated to put yourself into some degree of danger rather than flatter. So from Rabbi Niyana, it sounds like even a larger degree of danger would be expected, but you don't have to actually put your life on the line. Okay? Whereas the Yada Katana seems to be more lenient, and he says that, you know, if it's a very remote chance of danger, then you can't flatter. But once you have any real possibility of danger, you don't have to put yourself into danger. Okay? It's not clear exactly where you draw the line, but it does sound like the Yada Katana is being more lenient than Rabbi Yoyim. Okay? The second half of the Yada Katana, he said, V'yoyzer, yitochi v'nira loymar, asher b'kemoyzer in shom agrepas. He said, it would seem further in this matter of agrepas, af imhoya dava kore v'nira lova l'desakonam. So now he goes further and he says, after further reflection, it would seem that in fact, even if there is a real potential of a danger, they still have to put themselves into danger. Because over there, it was in public in front of God's Kol Yisrael. They said, you are clear without any pesha. They publicly desecrated and shamed the laws of Hashem. And we've already discussed the issue and the weight of this Pesha of Chilul Hashem in public in front of 10 Jews. Why has to give one's life for this? Because in truth, this matter wasn't that close to sakana. There was some danger, but it wasn't like it wasn't like he was holding a gun to their head. But rather, there was concern that if they start up with the king, they'll get in trouble. But it wasn't a clear and present danger. The king wasn't in a rage over if they would have said anything. Therefore, they were subject to a very heavy punishment. That they were liable to be destroyed. That happened privately. There was no one else there. It was just Ula and the murderer. In a case where it's in private, you don't have to give yourself over for death. So the Adagana now is saying that if it's in public, then it's a much bigger issue, and then you have to give yourself over to danger. And the Mashmaros is that even if it's clear and present danger, because he says it's an issue of Chil Hashem, a person is obligated to give up his life rather than create a Chil Hashem in front of 10 Jews. The halacha is, if a person, let's say a guy, puts a gun to a Jew's head and says, eat this pork or I'm going to kill you. So if it's in private, he eats it. If it's in public in front of 10 Jews, then he has a chiyuv of Kiddush Hashem, and he has to let himself be killed. That is the halacha, I believe. That's his paskin in Shulchan Aruch. So here also, by publicly, seemingly to publicly repudiate one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, and say, yeah, don't worry about it, it's fine, so you're not fit to be king. And by basically saying that the mitzvah of Hashem is not relevant, that is very problematic, and therefore they had a very heavy punishment. Okay, that brings us to the Ramah. The Ramah says like this: "V'ayin l'chamatzim in reish chukhes, gams in reish lamedays. Al pi shechayim adam l'mchayz b'ayvri aveir. Even though a person is obligated to protest against transgressors, v'chamay shenim meicha over the other l'mchayz, and anyone who does not have the ability to protest, but is able, who does not protest, over the other l'mchayz, but he has the ability to do so, nitvas b'ayse avayim." So he is held culpable for that avera that he failed to protest against. A person is not obligated to spend his money on this. Therefore, they are accustomed to protesting against transgressors. Because we are concerned that they might take offense and start up with us against our property or our bodies. So the Ramah is talking about over here that this is the Isser of Teichacha. I say the mitzvah. You have an obligation to rebuke someone, says the Ramah, you don't have to spend money, you don't have to lose your money over giving someone Teichacha. And therefore, he says that's what people are making, in general, not to start up with every Avera, because we're concerned they're going to take away our money, and or worse. Okay, but he's talking about not actively getting up and saying something, but keeping quiet, which is not the same thing as actively flattering the person. Well, let's see over here for a minute, the Pesukei Teshuva. Says the Pesukei Teshuva, V'lechein nagu l'hakel, I am a slave of B'char Shar, B'chidushot, B'mesach T'saita, Tafim Zayim Abed, Shekasa, T'mizeh Doshu Rabin. That what's happened is that everyone just became a hefker. B'ket Teir Domi Lohem, Lach Noiv Lasher, Lohim Shem V'yad K'tas, to flatter anyone who has a little bit of a little bit of prestige, Eitzel Shum Sroya, he has any sort of position of power, he's any sort of like strongman, Afal Gavil Bari Hezeka, even though it's not at all clear that he could cause damage. Al King Tofuk Taira, the Ein Kaifin, as Ish Esriyehu, Chaim Beloy. Okay, and therefore what happens is Tofuk Taira, the Taira just like falls apart, the Ein Kaifin, and no one does anything. No one reacts in Ishak Yul Chaim Beloy. If one person swallows his friend alive, no one does anything. Ube Emes Toz Gomer, who is a huge mistake. The Divrei Mariyu Namrukin, the Bori Hezeka, this halacha of the Ramah from the Mariyu is only said where it's clear and present danger. Then you've already disposed of the prophet of Les Seguru with me Ish. Do not fear any man. The value of Namah Le Seguru Kiyim, but the Ikamokin, Lira, the Herich was there. Because the halacha of Le Seguru, don't fear anyone, is where there's room to be afraid of the guy. So, Al Karachach, it's not a Hefkervelt. Where there's clear and present danger, there you have to, there you may be allowed to keep your mouth shut. Okay? Or even to flatter the guy to some degree. But where it's just a little bit of an issue, okay? So Shine, what's the big deal? You know, if it's a small issue, it's not clear and present danger, so there, a person has an obligation to, certainly not to flatter and even to say something. Okay? The Magen Avraham over here, brings down the Gemara, Saita Perexayim, Mishal Shakara, Agrevas, Hamelech, Waisucha, Watzalecha, Ishnachri, is all going of the mice, Mepnation, Lahaya, Midar Yisrael, Amrulai, Achinuata, you are our brother, Vaizishan, and Chaim Yisrael, Kloya, Al Shechonfu, Agrevas, because they flatter him, Yapo, Vish, Lahaya, Biada, Limchais, even though they didn't have the ability to protest, and come up to Lahaya, Lishtai, at least they could have kept quiet. The Lahaya, Zika, Bekahanat, to encourage him in his wrongdoing. Vizet, Oinish, Hamachnis, Midvaradeya, this is the punishment of one who flatters when it comes to an Avera, because he's scared of him, and he's not scared of Hashem. But if he is scared that he might kill him, so the Magen Avraham sounds like the only time you're allowed to flatter someone is if you're actually scared, he's going to kill you. Which sounds like anything less than that, you're not really allowed to flatter him, which is somewhat at odds with everyone else we've seen until now. Everyone else seems to say that if there's concern for financial or bodily harm, even if it's not actually that you lose your life, there may be room to be makel to flatter him. The bottom line that emerges from all this is that it's not clear exactly where you draw the line of when you're allowed to flatter someone and when you can't. But certainly everyone agrees that if there's no genuine concern for any bodily or financial harm, just that it'll be awkward or uncomfortable, you're not allowed to flatter someone and say, oh, everything's okay, everything's great. And even to keep quiet, if someone's doing an Avera, is no simple matter if there's no real danger involved. Just to end off over here with a tshuva from Reb Moshe. As you can see from the title, B'inyan L'chabi Be'eza Kovel Be'ez HaKnesses La'elcha Shem Be'ovri Avera V'Haradim Tzrichim Wai L'Refur L'Chedoyme. This is a very, 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 very common issue. Reb Yossi, I'm sure you have a lot to say about this shayla. Are you allowed to give, huh?
Pass the shalom.
Yeah, okay.
No, the kohel would never do a thing like that.
All right. Here he's asked the shayla that he had someone who davened a shul who was married to a non-Jewish woman, and the shayla was, can they give him any sort of kibbutz in the shul? Why? So Lamaisa, because he was married to a non-Jewish woman, they didn't give him aliyahs or anything like that. But Lamaisa, he did a lot of chesed for the community. He gave a lot of medical treatment and other things like that. So he did a lot of chesed. He's a very nice fellow. And he really, you know, does a lot of things for the kehillah. But Lamaisa is married to a non-Jewish woman. So they don't give him any kavod whatsoever in the shul. But they're afraid that he's offended. They want to know if they give him psicho or something like that. Something fairly innocuous. Okay, they're not giving him an aliyah, but at least psicha or something like that, are they allowed to give him? Okay, and they added that they believe that a lot of the reason why he's doing what he's doing is because his mother is Jewish and alive. And as long as she's alive, he keeps some connection with davening in the shul and does chesed for them. But once she dies, he's not, you know, there's a good chance he's going to pack out. So, you know, it's kedai for them to give him some sort of covenant in the hope that he will continue his chesed. So Reb Moshe basically, I'm not going to go into the whole long piece inside, but basically he goes back and forth and he says a chiddush. You can look over here, he says, "Avalim bazeh b'davar chadash." Okay, and he raises the question, and he says on the story of Ula, with his two travel companions. So he says, "So l'chayat tzumu atuva hapshita." He says it's obvious that he was allowed to praise them. He says, why should this Isser be different than any other Isser in the Torah? Why did Ula have any suffix of whether he did the right thing? The Isser of Hanufa is not worse than any other Isser in the Torah, and you don't have to give up your life. So what's the pshat? So he said the problem is like this. The problem is, and he basically, there's a famous Marshal. Marshal says that you're not allowed to deliberately lie about a halach in the Torah. You're not allowed to say that something is, let's say, mutter, when it's also, you're not allowed to deliberately misrepresent a mitzvah, a halacha in the Torah, in order to avoid trouble, even if you're putting your life in danger. it's also to change the prayer, even if you're putting your life in danger. So says the Marashah. So says the Marashah, if you flatter a person on the Aver itself by saying, oh, this thing you did, no, it's fine, it's not Aver at all, it's perfectly fine, that is very problematic. Okay? And he says, to say it straight out, that imam should have to be Maishah Nefesh. If you're just intimating it, he has it back. It's not, you know, then it's still problematic. Maybe there you don't have to give up your life for it. But in any event, certainly to say straight out that XYZ is mutter, okay, that you have to give your life. And, you know, to be around the bush and intimate that it's okay, that's a problem, but that you don't have to give up your life for. So he said that's the pshat by Ula. Ula didn't say, yes, you're allowed to go around killing people who bother you. That he didn't say. But the guy said, did I do a good job? And Ula said, yes, and exposed the slit. So Ula didn't say you're allowed to go around killing people, but he certainly intimated that what the guy did was okay. So that was Ula Shaila. Was he allowed to do that or not? To which Rabbi Yochanan said, you're allowed to save your life, even though you are giving the impression that what he did is okay. So long as you don't directly say, this is fine, and you're allowed to go around killing people. Okay? But says Ramesha that if you are not praising the person's actions or giving any impression that what the person did is perfectly fine, you're not saying, oh, this person is wonderful, he has a wonderful family with a beautiful wife and family and kids, when the guy is living with a goita, okay, to get up and give him that kind of covet where you're intimating that the aveira that he's doing is fine, there's nothing wrong with it, that's problematic. However, to give him an honor that has nothing to do with his aveira, he says that would be permitted. I'll just show you at the end of here where he says this. On the left column, but to flatter someone in matters where you cannot, there's no indication that he agrees to what the person is doing wrong. Okay, it's possible there's no Israel at all. You compliment him how handsome he is or how wise he is. Even if they exaggerate a little bit, because they need him. Okay? To give him psicha, that's, you don't see that he agrees to his actions through that. Everyone knows why you're honoring him. Because everyone needs this guy. And the fact of the matter is that he does have, certain positive attributes in the area of Ben Adam HaChavei Shiroi L'Chavei B'Shvilam, that Taka, he is deserving of honor for that. Okay? Ah, Shebet Vam, Shebet Beis HaKnesses, and Higush L'Chavei L'Bali Aveiro. The fact of the matter is that we are knowing not to give Kavod to those who will publicly do Aveiros, Kizu, Shenisur L'Nachis, such as one who's married to a non-Jew, Shukavi Roi, Shechavdu L'Zei Yezer L'Chanifa Al, Shetzvich L'Loi, Al Kaponim Kivich Ein B'Zeh Shum Shaychis L'Haskamu L'Maisov, everyone knows you're not condoning his actions. The only reason he's getting this covet of psicha is because he's a famous doctor, and they need him. Shaharim said that's not included in Hanufa. Okay? And he concludes, and he says, and therefore, af shegam mizet tzarech l'tzrachik, af mechanufa kazu. Even though we should avoid this kind of flattery, to praise him more than is fitting. He says, to praise a person with what is fit for him, that's for sure no Isser. Only by a non-Jew. Is there a love? There's an Isser to praise a non-Jew. So you can't, let's say, talk about what a great quarterback someone is, or what a terrible quarterback he is permitted. But you can't say what a great quarterback a guy is. Avol Yisrael, Avol Abraham, Vera, Leka Israel. There's no issue to say that he's wonderful about something if that is true. Avol Asharuch be Yisrael, but to praise him more, Yesh L'Tzrachek, one should avoid it. Ula Yesh Gam Israel Davar, Lo'ak Mitzam Mitzvah Shekitrechok, Elagamit Chanufa. Okay, not only because of Sheker, but also because of flattery. The Mitzat Sheker, Kivet Jehu, the Kavon HaSholim, If he's doing it, I'll check it because he intends for peace. Ein lesser, there's no isser. Im kein gam lechavdo b'psichas is geirat orange angels in sheker to honor him with psicho. There's no sheker. Nami ula yesh is isser mitzvah chanufa. There might be some shemitz of chanufa. Aval kiva sheini sur bar. But since the isser is not clear, the yesu naipah she'emba the isser elamala toiva who lishrachik av mechanufa kazu. This is not clear. There's an isser around which is preferable to avoid flattery. Yesh lehokel. You're allowed to be meku in roya. Bottom line is, the Moshe is saying that there is room for leniency to flatter someone, even someone who's a balavera, if you need this person. And I would imagine, this is where it comes from, that institutions across the world have the minig to honor people who are not shomeri Torah mitzvahs because they need them. They're not praising their avers per se. Everyone knows when you honor someone, you're doing it because you want their money or you want others to give money for them. And therefore, there's a minig for people to, they are mako to honor people even when their lifestyles are somewhat questionable. Again, it's an edel azach, and a lot of, you know, you have, there are moistis who take a higher road, and they won't honor such people at all. Others, depends on, some won't honor a person who's living with a non-Jew. Others, you know, depending on what the person's vocation is, what he does, and the situation for each moistah, they will make different, decisions. But it becomes not so much a question of Isser and Heter, as much as a question of Hashkafa, is it proper to honor this person or not? Okay? And so this is where a lot of the questions in Hashkafa spring up, that some Moishas are more makvid, some are less makvid. It really very much revolves around this Shaila that Ramesh is dealing with of where do you draw the line? We need this person, i.e. we need his money or we need his services, but he's living with a non-Jewish woman or other Averis. Is it okay? Can we give the guy COVID? That's where the Shaila comes up. Okay? We will stop here. I wish everyone a good day.
Go ahead.
Good day, Rav Mordechai.
Take care. Be well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.